KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Aaron Colvin thing, I don't blame them for cutting him because Aaron Colvin sucks. I mean, this is not the same guy that they brought in from Jacksonville. It is pretty remarkable how fast he went from what he was there to what he is now. It is a little bit remarkable, and it makes you wonder what the hell could have happened. But I understand why they move on from him. I'm fine with it.
You know, last night, I had a really good plan. I was going to go home. Hadn't watched an Astros game in a while because, you know, this football. By the time I got home, they're already down, 9-0?
Yeah, I feel like that's not the best for the Astros. They were hoping for a better performance out of good old Wade Miley.
That's two. Like, one of those you can write off.
Right.
But two in a row, there's obviously something wrong. And I was reading a bunch about it today. He claims he's healthy.
Two starts. Maybe we shouldn't be panicking just yet. But, boy, it's been two, not just bad starts, two really, really awful starts in a row.
Well, he's gotten one out in two starts.
Yeah.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Also, get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll respond. You can get us on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. You can also watch us on the Twitch channel. Very simple, and then you can go comment on the chat, although any chat that's already happened today I've lost because for some reason the thing froze, and when it does, I have to reload it, and any chat that was there disappears. So I don't know how to deal with that. So if there's someone on there who can explain to me how to bring the chat back, I mean, the chat's there now. So if like you send something, I'll see it. But anything you sent while it was frozen, I don't get to see.
Couple things. One, and I like that Rage Against the Machine intro to hour three.
Yeah, we got some things we've changed. I'm actually,
everyone likes Rage, right? There's nobody who doesn't like them.
I think, I can't think of anybody.
I don't know anybody who's like, oh, I don't like that.
Anyone who doesn't like Rage is probably not listening to this show.
Weird. Secondly, we haven't mentioned it. I think we would be remiss if we didn't mention it's 9/11. 18 years now since 9/11, which is, I know you survived Pearl Harbor. This is the first.
Actually, Battle of the Bulge.
That was your first one?
Yeah.
You know, I weren't you? Didn't you have something to do with Atlantis sinking or something? Maybe I don't know.
No, listen, I was involved in the war between the states, and then I rode with Outlaw Josie Wales, and that was my era.
Okay. Oh, what's the I can't. The joke won't work because I can't remember it. What's the volcano eruption that happened way back in the day?
Oh, Pompeii.
Yeah, yeah.
I just missed that one. So,
but yeah, I was talking to my wife about this morning. We have conversations about things that are very deep and meaningful, and was realizing that there's like my kids, there's not been a time in their lives that our country wasn't at war, and it's become so just such a usual part of our life that it doesn't even feel like our country's at war. But it is. Isn't that crazy?
And has been since then.
Like, can you imagine a time during World War II where you woke up one day and didn't think about the war going on?
Yeah, see,
I can't imagine that would happen.
Yeah.
Or Vietnam. Like, now it's just like, it's almost like it's not even happening, but it is.
For me, it was a different, I grew up in a different era. I just missed the Vietnam War. I mean, it was going on while I was like 4 or 5.
Right.
So I didn't know much about that. And from there until really 84, it was the Cold War. And that was a different thing because you always lived in fear that we were going to get nuked into oblivion. And for some reason, they convinced us as kids that one of the targets would be the refineries, which were 5 minutes from my home growing up. So we had bomb scares and things like that. And we were just scared to death of the Russians. But there was no war. There was no actual war. It was just the fear of it. And that's what I grew up with.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden now it's just, why are we still in Afghanistan? You know, I don't quite get it. But 9/11, you were in the military. I know that was for you, that was a very different time from a lot of people, because you basically had to jump right in, right?
Yeah. It was definitely a weird time to be in, because everything changed for me there. We were suddenly on high alert, but my unit was what was called a highly deployable unit. So it was like almost instant. So it's hard for me to know what it was like not being in the military, because I was in for, I guess, another 9 months after 9/11 before I got out of there. But it's just crazy to me how normalized it's become that, you know, we're still at that at the war that started over 9/11, if you want to say it started because of 9/11, which is that's a different day, different discussion for a different day. But it's just crazy that that's still going on.
Well, I hope someday, and this won't happen in my lifetime and probably not in yours, I hope we live in a world where there is no war, there are no terrorists, that people learn to respect each other's beliefs and not turn their religion into something that justifies murder. And that at some point we live in a better world. And, you know, that was horrifying in so many ways, I think, for a lot of people. And a lot of people were very young at the time. That's something that's never going to go away. And I assume it's like Pearl Harbor for people who were born then. And what I remember most about it is my ex was 8 months pregnant at the time. And, of course, she's freaking out, and I'm starting to worry that something bad's going to happen there because of everything that was going on. And, you know, which also reminds me, my daughter's about to turn 18. But, yeah, I hope it's one of those things that we remember that it happened, but I hope we work towards a world where bleep like this never happens again, and that we don't have to keep sending soldiers to other countries to fight other people's battles either. But that's just me. Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number. By the way, so according to the numbers from Houston media critic, then Granato would be the oldest.
Oh, no.
At 59.
59?
Yeah.
How many more years of Granato do you think we have?
Oh, I think he's having too much fun. He's like me. He's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Man, all it takes is a bad day from somebody that old, and they're gone.
Oh, that's true.
Because you guys drink so much beer.
Well, and I will just say this. I'm not embarrassed by how old I am. I throw it out there. I don't care. I'm never going to act my age. And if I start acting my age, then it's time to do something else in life.
Yeah.
Because I'm all about having fun and enjoying life and treating each day like it's your last. Because guess what? Farther along I get, there's a better chance of that happening. So, you know, I think it's just a number as far as I'm concerned. And I have no problem with you guys making fun of it. Never going to be sensitive about it. I mean, I don't care. But I would think if you hung out with me, you wouldn't think I was 54 years old.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if a blind person hung out with you, they wouldn't think you were 54.
Well, okay, fine. Fair enough.
If they're reading you with their eyes, they're like, oh, this guy's 60.
No, I don't look 60. Come on. I don't look a day over 58. Actually, I mean, get a few more pounds off, and with the hair growing in, getting a little tan going, I'm looking better.
Okay.
I'm getting there.
All right.
I'm still old, and I look old, but I'm getting better.
Listener Brandon asked if you're going to have a few copies of Jesus Just Left Chicago out at the show in Beaumont on Friday.
You know what? I will bring some. So, he's the second person to ask about that. So I'll probably bring about 10 copies. If you think you're going to want one, text the show. If it's going to be more than that, I'll bring more. But, I will definitely do that, because I've been meaning to get over there for a book signing, and it just hasn't happened yet. So this might be the closest thing. All right, guys, back to school. Football's here. And if you're still not sleeping right, you got to take advantage of Texas Mattress Makers factory direct pricing and get ready for some great sleep. How about this? You'll be fully rested, sleeping on pocketed coil mattress sets that are now starting at $310. And, guys, you've heard me talk about Texas Mattress Makers for a long time, and there's a lot of reasons to go there. Number one, you're going to save money. They make the mattresses right there. They sell them directly to you. They know everything about them. The quality they put into them is amazing. They're constantly making them better and better. You go to a retail store, you're going to pay 50% more. So why do that? And plus, a lot of these retail stores buy the mattresses from Texas Mattress Makers and then mark the price up. So you can get away from that right away. Not only that, you're going to get quality sleep. They're going to put you on a bed that works for you, and you're working with great people. Yuval and all the guys, Lax, Rachel, everybody over there, man, they're so involved in the community. They do great things, and they just want to help you sleep better and do business. And they're the kind of business that everybody in this city should try to be like, because they sell you great products, they do great things, and they're just good people. So I don't know what you're waiting for. If you're thinking about buying a mattress and you're thinking about going somewhere else, shame bell for you. You can go buy the original 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood, or go to the new one, 5026 East 3rd Street in Katy. You'll get a grade if you buy a mattress from them in Katy. Texas Mattress Makers is the best sleep at the best price guaranteed. TexasMattressMakers.com.
This is the Blitz. The Blitz
on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, trying to catch up a little bit on the Twitch channel. Sadi Rid Cactus, they have successfully reversed the aging process in lab mice and say they can do it to humans in the next 15 years. Please get it inside of 15 years, okay? Because I think that's going to be pushing the limits of my existence on the planet. So if you can do it inside maybe 10, because I'd like to live long enough for that science to exist.
So I watched a couple comedy specials last night. I watched the new Chappelle special.
Yeah.
And I watched the new Bill Burr special. It's called Paper Tiger on Netflix. And there's a bit in there about sex robots.
Yeah.
That I think you'll enjoy.
Cool. Yeah.
A little shouty for me. I prefer, like Barry was saying, he liked the Bill Burr one better than the Chappelle one, but I like the Chappelle one better because I don't like being shouted at by comics the whole time.
See, I always loved the way Sam Kinison did it, where most of it, well, but he didn't overdo it.
No, he absolutely overdid
it. No, I don't think he overdid it at all. So if
that was his whole thing.
If you think that, no, because he had that, you know, he did that really high voice, you know, and set it up, and then then he'd scream something. Yeah.
He'd
stop and he'd go back and he'd be real calm. And like his whole bit about Jesus, which I thought was really hilarious. But so I haven't watched either one of those yet.
Baseball Nugs. Did you see the Christian Yelich?
Yeah.
Boy.
That sucks. Sucks for him. Plus,
man,
they were actually right there in the race, too.
They're one game out. So Christian Yelich done for the season. A fractured kneecap.
That sounds painful.
Foul ball off the kneecap. That ain't good.
No.
And I don't know. I mean, I assume he'll be ready to go early next season, but that's...
Yeah.
No fun. So it looks like the Brewers won't be making the playoffs. And if they do, it won't matter because
quick fodder there.
Yeah. I guess that was the big... I still can't get over the Astros just getting worked over yesterday. Like, what do people do? Like, the people who... Like, imagine you're a guy who wakes up and tweets about how crappy a baseball team is one day, and they gave up, you know, 21 runs, and then the next day, your team gives up 21 runs.
That's why you shouldn't do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Try to tell people, but they don't listen to me.
Be humble.
Man, don't be humble. Just realize that, you know, baseball is such a day-to-day thing. You've got a good team. They're going to have some crap games. They're going to have some games where they go nuts. And that's why you don't talk bleep. Man, I haven't had a chance to read the whole thing yet, but there's a New York Times story you remember 2018, the Triple Crown, Justify won the Triple Crown.
I don't remember that.
Second one to do it in 3 years.
Yeah. It's not even a thing anymore.
But apparently he failed a drug test that should have made him ineligible for the Triple Crown. And it was covered up.
What?
Yeah. So I
he's a Reuter?
I have not read the whole story yet. I've looked at about half of it on the break here.
Now, it could be a case where he had like a prescription for it.
No, this was a banned substance that is a performance enhancer.
Oh.
It's called scopolamine. It sounds bad, but
probably horse steroids.
Probably so. But apparently he won the race. He had to win the Santa Anita Derby to have enough points to get in. He won the race, but then, of course, they drug test him after that. And if he fails a drug test, then he has to give up the prize money and the points for the Derby.
Okay.
So he failed the drug test, and it took 3 weeks.
Was the Derby already run?
The Derby was about to be run. So apparently they held off on a decision until after the Derby. Well, then he goes on and wins a Triple Crown. 4 months later, they disposed of it altogether during a closed-door executive session.
Oh, man.
They decided, with little evidence, that the positive test could have been a result of him, wait for it, Dwayne Brown, eating contaminated food. They voted unanimously to dismiss the case. And then,
saying that there's a shady side to horse racing?
Oh God, there's always been a shady side to horse racing. But this is—I
don't believe it. Well, I've always thought that business was totally on the up and up.
But it says in October it changed the penalty for the drug violation to a lesser penalty of a fine and possible suspension.
Like after they let this horse off the hook?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. One of the frustrating things about being somebody who bets on horses is every now and then, you'll bet on a race, and some horse comes out of nowhere and wins. And you're like, damn, I got my ass kicked on. I would have had a big score. And then a month later, you see past performances, and next to that horse's name, it says disqualified from purse money.
Mm-hmm.
So they cheated, and they got disqualified, but it does nothing for me as a gambler.
Same way in MMA. If you lose a bet on a fight, then the guy fails a steroid test, it's not like the book is going to come back and be like, oh, hey, Mr. Hoffman, I know you lost this bet. But turns out that was a mistake. The decision's been overturned. Here's your money back, and here's our money to go with it.
Yeah.
That's never happened to me ever.
No, and that's one of the things that's frustrating, especially when you have a race where you see a horse come absolutely out of nowhere, and you go, you know they were doing something, and then when you find out later they were, you're like, you son of a. But I need to do a little more studying on this, but this is a really bad look. It's almost
shame.
And as somebody who bet against Justify the whole way, it really pisses me off that he didn't even belong in there and he had to cheat to get there, because it means I was right and I didn't get paid off for it. But I need to see the whole thing. And man, I'm hopeful I'll get to see his trainer when we're out in California. I'm already set up for that Saturday to go to Santa Anita, which is going to be awesome. I cannot wait, but hopefully I'll be able to have a discussion with him. So, but you know what? Besides all the great things, all the football coming up, college football, NFL, you can bet horses on MyBookie too. They got everything. And they've got odds on every game, prop bets, you name it. And if you want to get in, we're going to talk about the next segment. We're going to go over some of the early lines. And one of those things like Washington State, you want to get in on that over, MyBookie has you covered. You want to play any of the NFL this week, they've got you covered. And how about this? Sign up today. MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's up to $1,000 in free money. Double your first deposit. All you have to do is use promo code radio, and you'll get your exclusive double your money offer. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. And, man, get in on the action. I'm playing that season-long NFL tournament. They've got all kinds of contests going on all the time, and it's the best part. You win, you're actually going to get your money out. And that's not something that happens with every website. With MyBookie, you win, you get paid. You don't have to worry about it. Get your cash when you want it. Promo code radio now, right now, to get your exclusive double your money offer. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. Play, win, get paid. MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5. 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. So, man, I was reading a little more of the story on the break. Man, this looks bad. And the guy who wrote it is a very good friend of mine. His name's Joe Drape from the New York Times. Terrific writer.
Name drop.
He's good at what he does. So he's not one of those guys, if he's dropping an investigative story, that you go, oh, fake news.
Well, let me tell you about my very good friend, John Cena.
What about him?
I don't know. Just we're very good friends. You may have heard of him.
No, I haven't. He's no Joe Drape. I don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe you've heard of my very good close personal friend, Ted Danson.
Maybe you've heard of mine, Ted Bundy.
He's dead. It's not impressive.
He wasn't dead when it was my friend.
But now he is. Would you guys go on a rape and murder tour together?
No. It just...
You knew him outside of rape and murder?
Yeah.
Okay. You were in the other circle.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Good for you.
But yeah, this looks bad. I'm gonna reach out to Joe and see.
No, Joe's on the phone right now.
Well, it's probably not the same Joe, but we'll let him on.
What's up, Joe? Hey, is this Joe?
Hey, how's it going?
I knew it. Hey, Fred, it's Joe. What's up, Joe?
I was just listening to y'all talk about the shady side of the horse racing and was wondering if either one of y'all remembered the Fob race at Delta Downs, Louisiana.
Fred does.
Yeah, I do very well, as a matter of fact. And if you never heard the story, it's classic. There was a horse called Landing Officer, and it was so foggy at Delta Downs you couldn't see. And it was a relatively cheap race. And somehow this horse wins a one-mile race by 24 lengths and sets a track record by not even close, right? Well, it turns out what happened was the jockey, because the way the track is configured, when you start a one-mile race, you start in a chute, and then you cross the finish line and go all the way around.
Right.
He basically pulled the horse up out of the starting gate, waited till he heard them coming around the turn, and then took off.
Damn.
And which it was really hard for them to prove because nobody could see anything. It just the only thing you could say is, well, there's no way the horse ran that fast and won by that many lengths. Turns out that somebody else had done the same thing a couple races earlier and was bragging about it in the jocks room.
So they all tried it.
Well, he tried it right after that. But that knucklehead, he just basically took off way too soon. The other guy waited till the horses passed him and then ran by him.
Damn.
And caught him on the wire. But, yeah, that was Sylvester Carmouche was the jockey. And here's the other fun part of that story. We broke that story at the Chronicle. Our horse racing guy was a guy named Rich Burke, who's since passed away. Rich.
R.I.P. Rich.
Great dude, but he was so...
Died in 9/11.
Huh? Do what?
Died in 9/11?
No.
Oh, I was trying to bring the show full circle.
That's a good try. No, but he didn't want to write the story because he didn't want to get the guy in trouble.
And but as a hard-hitting journalist, sometimes you got
to
do that.
I know. That's the thing. It's like we had to... Because he was telling me the story as a joke, and I'm like, dude, we got to write this. Oh, no, I don't want to get him in trouble. I'm like, oh, no, we have to write this. And so we broke the story, and it became a major national story, and it was pretty, it kind of...
Not wise.
Gets back to, Ashton was asking me, as a guy who's never known a world without 24 Sports Network, how crazy is it for the idea of converting sports that way? Also, do you think it's improved the sports world? When I was growing up, it was a much different sports world. It is a 24/7 thing now. I think it's better. Now, from a work perspective... I'm almost never going to have a time where I can be away from a computer for very long because if something happens, we have to get it posted. And that's been a change. But I think it's a good thing. And, when I was first started, we were doing stuff on we had these stinky-ass machines that people would send us stories and box scores on that we had to type in from scratch. And, I mean, it's just so much better now that Frankly, I was in the business before ESPN started, so we were the sports, the people who put sports out when I started. And you know, it's been so long. I mean, I feel like everything's changed so much and for the better in that regard. And yeah, it's a shame that newspapers are dying off, but you know, I think as somebody who likes to consume media, I think we're so much farther ahead, and I'm so glad that we are. And I can't wait to see what's next. I mean, we're some of the things we're doing at Gal Media, we're playing around with all kinds of things. You know, what's the next thing going to be? We're not just about radio and podcasts and digital. It's like, what are we going to do next to get better and you know, to be ahead of everybody? And that's something we talk about all the time. All right, man, can we haven't had a chance yet to talk about any of the lines. Can we at least get a few minutes in on that?
Yeah, we can get in a few, I guess.
Washington State minus 9. Over-under is down to 74. I like the over here. I don't think, hell, Washington State may score 74 on Houston's defense.
Yeah, that's the only way I could look, I think, is over. These are two teams that don't care much about defense and care a lot about offense. Although, Houston's offense, some concerns for me.
Yeah, I'll go back. If you watch that game, they really shut it down in the second half. So I think they were holding a bunch of stuff in check. Man, this one looks weird to me, considering what Maryland's just done. Why is Maryland only a 7-point favorite at Temple?
Well,
I'm sure there's a reason for it, right?
I'm sure there is, and I mean, Maryland coming off of a drubbing, so Maryland is obviously stock is as high as it's going to be right now, right? Maybe Penn State look ahead. That's who they've got next. Although they've got a bye week, I don't really know either. I'm not crazy about Temple, but that's also enough for it to be kind of it's a queer line, as they say.
Yeah,
which makes me kind of want to leave it alone. I mean, I wouldn't blame you if you played Maryland, but I don't think I'm going to be playing them.
I'm not going to either. Somebody asked me about it earlier, but it does seem like a queer line, as Granada would say.
So a couple of my notes on here is that Temple, 11 of their last 14 games as home dogs, they've covered. So, I mean, that's something. And Temple had a bye week, so maybe they've got, you know, some extra time. They're a physical team. I don't know. To me, it's a stay-away game, but I do see why people are looking at it and going, what? It probably looks like free money. Which, when it does, I'll pass.
And that's the thing. When something feels too good to be true, it generally is. I know you like North Carolina against Wake Forest on Friday.
I do like North Carolina. I think it's a high-scoring game. And Wake is obviously going to score their points. But I think North Carolina is quietly... I mean, they've kind of... You know what? You could say what you want about Mac Brown and the games passed him by or whatever. And it may have. But what Mac has always been good at is surrounding himself by smart coordinators. And he's done the same thing in North Carolina, and those guys look like they know what they're doing. So I'll take North Carolina. I think they're a much better team than Wake Forest, and the minus 3 tells me that Vegas thinks they're even. I don't believe that.
Well, thank you, AJ. That's very wonderful of you. We're going to go in there and win.
It's going to be an exciting time for North Carolina Tar Heel football.
Let's go dance in the locker room. Boston College minus 21 against Kansas also Friday night.
I won't bet money on Kansas. I kind of like... Actually, BC minus 21. Sounds crazy.
And if you do, you should probably take the over 51, too, because I think that BC could easily score that kind of...
The problem is Kansas scored 7 points against Coastal Carolina. If you're going to have an over of 51, you need Kansas to do something.
I don't know. I think Boston College could easily put up 50. So I do that sometimes. If I think a school could put up that much by themselves, of course, I probably should just bet the Boston College team over.
Yeah.
That's probably better. Not a lot of stuff stood out to me this week. I'll tell you what, one that I did turn in today. I absolutely love Oklahoma State at Tulsa. I know it's minus 14, but Gundy's only had really 1 year where his team wasn't very good, and that was last year. This kid they got playing quarterback now, he can only throw, he can run. And I think they're going to be a tough out in the Big 12. They're going to be like they always are. They're probably going to win 8 or 9 games. But while I like Tulsa... And I know it's a big deal for them to have Okie State at their stadium. I think Okie State is just going to bend them over and totally Ed Norton their asses.
Yeah, Oklahoma State's better than I thought they were going to be so far. Yeah, Oklahoma State and Kansas State both. So there's a couple schools in the Big 12 that are better than what I expected them to be. And speaking of Kansas State, that's a that's what I think is an overplay with Mississippi State at 52. I think Kansas State's offense is way better than I thought. Mississippi State's really good on offense. I don't know. I'm not trying to give over a touchdown with Mississippi State, but I think that there's going to be a lot of points scored in that game.
Yeah, I took a long look at that game before I finally decided I didn't know what to do with it. Also, here's one that I just don't know what to do with. USC -4 at BYU. I know that that BYU win wasn't very impressive because Tennessee's awful.
Yeah.
But that kid for USC,
he looked good, but he's also a kid. And he's about to be playing against grown-ass men from BYU. I looked at this game a lot, too, and I don't know what the right side is. I think that the fact that it's at BYU makes me want to stay away altogether because that's, you know, the elevation, a kid playing his second game ever. And we don't really know what's – Stanford last week without Costello, we saw – that was a big difference. I mean, that team is no good without him. Which they get Central Florida this week. You were talking about that, and it looks like he's going to be back.
Which will be good.
But Stanford getting 8 points in that one, or 7.5, 8, depending on where you look. But, yeah, I think it's a stay away for me on the BYU side. But if I had to pick a side, it'd be BYU.
Real quick hits here before we go to break. Okie, -23.5 at UCLA. UCLA's dead to me, by the way.
I think they are dead to me. What's the total on that one?
73.
I could see that getting there.
I mean, Oklahoma getting there, frankly.
Chip Kelly versus Lincoln Riley, I would expect there to be some points scored. But, yeah, I can't take UCLA in that spot. I don't really want to lay 23, but they're on the road, right? It's at UCLA.
Yeah,
I don't really want to do that. But
they're having to try to give away free tickets to get people to go to the game. It's so bad.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Texas -32 against Rice here at NRG.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, there's no home field advantage to speak of for Rice in this game.
Well, there wouldn't be if it were Rice Stadium either.
But I also think that this is sort of a letdown spot for Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, if they would have won, it may even be worse. But there's no way that after last week that Texas is as hyped for this game against Rice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of kids from Houston on the team, so playing in front of the home fans will be nice. But yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. And then one last one, Tech -2.5 at Arizona. I'm looking at the under on this because we've actually seen Tech play a pretty decent defense here. And
Arizona's offense.
Yeah. Well, so I mean, under 77 might be a play for me.
I like the under in the other Arizona game, Arizona State, who for whatever reason Vegas is still acting like has N'Keal Harry and all the guys they had last year.
Yeah.
And they're playing Michigan State. And that game was like 14-12, I think, last year. And the total's at 42, and Michigan State's a 14-point favorite. I could see, and these are totally not correlated, but I could see Michigan State and the under in this game. I don't know how Arizona State scores against Michigan State. I think that's going to be rough.
Maybe tomorrow, I want to go through like the extra games that they add to the slate because there's a lot of times you can find value in those. Especially with some really big spreads like Aggie 43.5 against Lamar, LSU 51.5 against Northwestern. You know, I mean, just really big numbers for a team that LSU, I don't think LSU is going to be trying all that hard against Northwestern, and that number's 51.5. So we'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about CBDMD, and there's a lot of CBD products out there. And, you know, you could just go with any old brand, but then you'd be stupid. You wouldn't be going with the best, and that's CBDMD. I can tell you that because I've tried this stuff out, and it is working for me. 30-day money-back guarantee. Give it a try yourself. The CBD Freeze is something I like. Gives you a nice soothing, cooling effect. The CBD Recover is not, they're just the plain oil, which is how I've always taken CBD, is just the couple drops under the tongue. They've got gummies. They've got everything. And I am a major advocate of CBD, have been for a long time, and this is the best stuff I've come across. And it's not just for elite athletes like Bubba Watson and Daniel Cormier. It can be for you as well. CBDMD, check them out. They've made my workouts better. They've taken care of some of the bumps and bruises that I feel. They feel a lot better when I'm using this stuff. And to see what they can do for you, they're offering a promo code 20% off to our listeners. CBDMD.com. Use the promo code ESPN975 at checkout. That's CBDMD.com, promo code ESPN975.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Will you do me a favor?
Sure.
If I ever take myself too seriously, will you just punch me in the nose?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. All right, let's wrap up the show the way we always do with deaths. All right, we'll start with celebrities. Akira Kurosawa, Japanese director. I don't think I ever saw any of...
I wish John were here to go, oh.
What is it, male golfer, female golfer, director?
Yes.
Died of a stroke at 88. I'm not sure I ever saw any of his movies. I just always heard jokes about Kurosawa movies.
Okay.
Luciano Pavarotti.
Luciano Pavarotti.
Dead at 71, Italian tenor. He made it a long way for as fat as he was.
It's true. Good diet, I think.
Maybe so. Burgess Meredith.
What did he die of?
It just says he died of... he just says he dies.
Oh.
Not all of these tell me why.
We're not talking about that, I guess.
Burgess Meredith. Dead at 88.
See, Burgess Meredith is a fat person name.
Yeah, but he really wasn't.
No.
He was just kind of...
But when you hear that name, you think, oh, that guy probably died of being too fat.
But he was in Rocky.
Yeah.
And before he died, in Rocky he died, also in real life. But I just remember, finally, Sylvester Stallone gets over his wife being in the hospital and says, all right, let's go train. And Burgess Meredith goes, what are we waiting for? It's the only line I remember from that movie. Let's see. I don't know any of these other guys. Let's get to the sports figures. Willie Frazier, NFL tight end, dead at 71, played for the Oilers, Chargers, and Chiefs. Art Modell, former owner of the Browns, dead at 87. But these are really bad deaths. How about Catfish Hunter? Is that great name?
Yeah.
Yeah, dead from ALS at 53, which, boy, I hate that disease.
What's your favorite disease?
Love. Only love can beat the demon. That's my other movie reference. Now I don't even know where the hell I am. T-Boone Pickens, we already talked about. Okay, how about this? 1877, Crazy Horse, also known as Tashanka Witko.
Oh, okay.
The last great Sioux war chief.
I call him Tashanka.
Or was it like Dances with Wolves with Tutanka? That was the buffalo, Tutanka.
Remember I think that? Tutanka was a pro wrestler in WWE.
Well, I was also the buffalo in, you know. And that was when...
Hey, Aaron, look it up if Tutanka is A, still alive... B, if the guy who was Tatanka in WWF, I think it was WWF at the time, not WWE, if he was actually Native American or he was a liar like that girl on Yellowstone.
Well, you're heartbroken over that. Oh, you
boy,
thought she was a hot Native American.
Yes.
All right, let's get to the best deaths.
I bet Tatanka's Latino.
He's still alive. His birth name is Chris Chavis.
That's not...
That sounds like a white guy to me.
Yeah, that sounds
he is part of the Lumbee tribe.
Oh.
I don't know. That's a colonizer name.
I want to start my own tribe so I can open a casino.
The Lumbee tribe? That's what it sounds like.
Yeah,
it sounds like a let's start a casino. Oh, let's make something up here.
I'm going to be part of the Gumby tribe. There you go.
I'm going to be part of the Gumbo tribe.
Well, that's a good one.
Mm.
All right. Let's get to our best deaths. Mother Teresa dies of cardiac arrest at 87.
My mom's name, ironically, Teresa.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And she's your mother.
And my mother, yeah.
She's
my mother, Teresa.
Did she win the Nobel Peace Prize?
Not yet, but...
She keeps doing that carrot cake. She deserves it.
There's still time. There's still time.
Tom Fogerty, rhythm guitarist for CCR, dead of tuberculosis at 48 in 1990. Who gets tuberculosis anymore?
Rhythm guitarist... basically he stood behind John Fogerty and like tried to play.
Yeah.
If you ever read the books,
he's not the good Fogerty.
John Fogerty is the only guy that had any musical talent in that whole band. And the other guys just kind of stood there. And then they got mad. And they were like, we want to write songs too. And they're like, John was like, okay, write some songs. And all their songs sucked. And then the band went into the toilet.
It's kind of like the show. I mean, I'm the only one with any talent. September 6, 2018, Burt Reynolds.
God.
Dead of cardiac arrest at 82. That dude was such a... if you live half the life that guy did.
Burt Reynolds was 82. Isn't that crazy to think?
Yeah. He still looked pretty good at that.
Yeah.
1978, pour one out for Keith Moon, dead of a drug overdose at 31. Fantastic drummer.
Keith Moon did drugs?
Yeah.
That's a damn shame.
2002, Johnny Unitas, dead of a heart attack at 69. Also not a great run. 2003, John Ritter, dead at 54 of a heart attack.
My fantasy baseball league is named the John Ritter Memorial League.
Really?
It was, and I made fun of someone, I didn't know why it was named that, and I made fun of it. And the guy was like, I actually knew John Ritter. I was really close with his daughter. Mm. And he was like, took offense to it, and then I was out of the league.
Oh, well.
My league is called the Rod Beck Memorial League. And I don't know Rod Beck. I just like that he lived in a trailer outside the baseball stadium.
And then, of course, 2001, more than 3,000 Americans killed in the terrorist attacks. We talked about that a little bit earlier. All right, one last... porn star for you. September 11th, 2009. Felicia Tang Lee.
I'm going to go with Murdered by a Pimp.
I'm going to give you at least partial credit for that. She was found beaten and suffocated in her apartment. Probably could have been the pimp. Probably should have been the pimp.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a win on that.
Thank you.
And that is your famous deaths. And that's going to wrap it up for today.
Well, you know what I'm excited about?
What's that?
You know what's happening? The AdvoCare Texas kickoff. Guess who's going to be out there? Carbach.
Of course.
The Love Street Tex Fest taking place before the Texas kickoff this Friday at NRG Park. Live music from country star Jack Ingram out there at the Love Street Tex Fest. So you want to check that out. Follow Carbach. Follow the AdvoCare Texas kickoff on Twitter. They've got details about that on Friday. Check it out. And of course, check out all the great beer from Carbach. They were in here yesterday with some of that brew. So good. You're going to be out and about watching football, doing things. You want some good beer. Carbach, that's what you need. And stop by the restaurant. Check out what they've got going there. Food is out of this world, and it all pairs perfectly with one of the many beers that they've got on the wall. Some of them you can only get there at Carbach. And then they've got the Carbachtoberfest events coming up, three straight weekends of stein hoisting and wiener dog races and live music. It's going to be a great time. Follow Carbach on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for more details. And when you're out and about, ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are
hers and hers and his. Sweet company too.
Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Take a step that is new.
Take a step that is new.
Leave a lovable space that needs your face. Sweet company too.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city.